On this weekend's Motherlode Views, we're joined in studio by Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs, talking about a number of topics, including the budget process and economic development and various things happening in county government right now. CAO Riggs, next thing I want to ask you about is resiliency centers. We've heard this at some of the recent supervisors' meetings. What can you tell us about what's taking place on this topic?
Yes, so the National Disaster Resiliency Competition, our county was lucky enough to have secured about $70 million in funding from that grant, which is federal funding. And many people know that there are three pillars there, but the one that we are working on in our office specifically is on these community resiliency centers. The board made a decision some time ago that there would be two centers, so one in Tuolumne City and one in Groveland. And they have made that, they've done that vote a couple times, just solidified that vote. On June 4th, we will have the state agency who will be coming in, and they're going to be talking to the board and doing a presentation. But we just want to make it clear that the state is the one who will make the final decision of whether we get one of those centers or two. Maureen Frank, who's working on this in our office, and our board feel very strongly that there is sufficient funding there to build both of those centers. So we are encouraging anyone who is really involved in this and really wants to see two centers go up that on June 4th, these representatives from the couple of state agencies who are overseeing this will be there. And that will be a time to really speak to why is it so important for these two communities to each have their own center. So again, encouraging anyone who wants to be able to be involved in that and to speak into it, that's the time to do it.
Another thing I want to ask you about is you talked earlier the timeline for the new county jail that's going to be coming online. You know, after that, what is kind of the next phase for that Law and Justice Center property and things that you're looking at?
Yeah, so the next phase right now is looking at moving. Eventually, we need to get all of our law and justice partners. So we will have the jail out there, we have the juvenile hall, and then we would have courts. So we still have our district attorney's office, the public defender's office, probation, and then sheriff's administration, because it's just the jail. It doesn't include his administration. It doesn't include his detectives and patrol. So the next goal that we have right now is to see what do we need out there, and that means a programming document. So again, Maureen Frank, who is our lead on the Law and Justice Center, she has done an RFP, and all of those partners I just mentioned, the sheriff, the district attorney, probation, and public defender, will be working with Maureen and reviewing those responses for the request for proposals, and then they will be selecting a vendor who will then begin what's called a programming document. So they meet with each of those department heads, and they learn what are the services they do, how many staff do they have, what are the constraints, meaning maybe confidentiality and private offices, and how much room do they need. Once they have all of that, they begin drafting a plan for the county that outlines how many square feet do we need for each of those, and what might the square footage look like in the terms of the number of offices, the conference rooms, public meeting areas. So that will be starting fairly soon, and we're hoping to get that going with those department heads and have an idea for the board of how much more do we need and what does that look like and what might that cost, which of course is the driving force.
So those would be housed in buildings that would be built down the road? Is that how it would work?
Correct. And we don't know whether that would be one building. Could it be two buildings? Could it be three buildings? We don't know. And of course, we want to have the best use of funds and be the most efficient that we can. So that's what we will be tasking that contractor with, is once they learn what all of those needs are, how do we accomplish and meet those needs for the least amount of cost possible?
Another thing that's kind of caught my attention in recent weeks, there's a new thing, Meet the CAO. What can you tell us about this?
So the Meet the CAO was actually something that our executive assistant and I, so Christina Cunha and I, worked together, and we kind of had this idea at the same time that we would really like a way to get out there, and we're trying to break down barriers, whether that be internal and or external. So Meet the CAO is a way for people to come in, and it's not just members of the public. It can also be our staff, where I am available in a room from 12 to 2 where someone can have one-on-one time to sit down and talk with me, and I can answer questions. I can learn about resources. I'm always looking for other resources that we can partner with on behalf of our community. And so it's the first Thursday of every month. And I know we have one scheduled up in Groveland on June 7th. And again, they start at noon. They last for 2 hours. If people are still there, we don't leave. We stay there until the end. But we did the noon hour because we're thinking that people, for lunchtime, they can stop in, even if it's just a few minutes. The other thing we can do is also pair resources. So if someone has specific questions, I can get them a meeting or a time with a department head who is a specialist in their area, and they may be able to answer some more of those detailed questions that come our way.
Another thing that's within the county's realm is the Public Defender's Office. I understand there's changes going on there. What can you tell us about that?
We do have changes there. So our current public defender, who has been with the county for over 20 years, he has announced his intent to retire in July. So that has brought about the need to start looking and doing a recruitment. So that recruitment was out for some time, about a month. And actually tomorrow afternoon, we will be doing interviews for the public defender. And we're really excited for whatever this new individual B as we add them to our team. Changes come whenever we have a new individual, and so we're excited to see what that might bring.
And then is there some streamlining as well within that public defender realm?
We are. So we began looking at our use. One of the requirements for providing indigent defense is to make sure that we have coverage for conflict of interest. And essentially that anytime an attorney has a conflict, they've represented someone or they have any type of knowledge or relationship with anyone else, whether it be a prior representation, they can conflict out. And then we have to provide another attorney who can provide that defense. In the past, it's always been a contract. We've had three individuals who have been on contract. They've done an excellent job. What we're looking at a way is to use those resources a little more efficiently so that maybe even when there's not a conflict, they can take some of that capacity, meaning some of our public defenders carry a very high load of cases, as do our district attorneys. So in the public defender's office, maybe even when there's not a conflict, they can give some of those other cases to those conflict counsels so that we're evening out the load a little bit there and being a little more efficient and providing better customer service at the same time.
Definitely hit on a lot of topics on this weekend's Motherlode Views with CAO Tracy Riggs. CAO Riggs, we talked about many different things. Any other things that are keeping you busy right now that we haven't mentioned?
Yeah, budget and fire definitely taking most of our time. Really connecting with the community and our employees has been the other priority of mine. Gone to a lot of speaking engagements. If someone would like myself or anyone else, department head or assistant or other deputy in our office, we are always happy to come out, discuss items. We also want to, when I talk about breaking down barriers, we want people to engage with us. And so we're trying to get individuals to come into our board meetings, to engage with their supervisors so that we can do some of that myth busting and or truth fact finding. And so if we can do that for anyone, we're happy to do that. And we are encouraging everyone to get involved in their local government.
So meetings first and third Tuesdays of every month?
Correct. Yes. 9:00.
Well, we want to thank Tracy Riggs for being our guest on this Motherlode Views. We hope to talk to you soon down the road.
Thank you so much. Have an awesome day.
Well, we definitely will, and we hope you have a good day as well. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to turn our attention to the Sonora Union High School District. We'll be joined in studio by Dr. Mark Miller, who is the superintendent of schools with the Sonora Union High School District. A lot has been happening with the district. It's graduation season. They also had the Wildcat Ranch, some changes with that property, and also looking ahead to the historic Sonora Dome, what to do with that property as well. We'll get into it next week on Motherlode Views with Dr. Miller. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.